So you think this was done intentionally?
P. In some instances, yes. In other instances, the people merely happened to come in the way of this energy.
D. I've also thought these craft have been seen around radar stations and electric power stations, as through they have some need for these places. There is a theory that maybe they use the power that comes from them.
P. There is a need for water. However, there is not a need for remaining near radar stations or power stations. This theory gives the apparent perception that these beings are somewhat dependent, as are humans. And so it lowers their perceived status from omnipotent to being dependent beings. But they have no need since their power source is far above and beyond anything man is capable of at this time. These individuals study such facilities. It is also a demonstration. A way of allowing others to see these craft in a non-threatening manner.
D. They want to be seen?
P. That is accurate. For that is the purpose in these sightings, to bring the awareness to global level and eventual acceptance and embrace of these beings, such that there will not be the need for such clandestine meetings and work. That it may be done in the open.
200. The keepers of the garden.
D. I get this strong feeling that there is an armada of universal planetary beings out there watching us, ready to make contact when they feel it safe.
P. There is in fact an armada, as you might say. However, we would not choose to use that word, for in your context, that is, in the subtleties of your linguistic exercises, armada implies an army which is of a warlike nature. And as you can imagine, we are indeed the most unwarlike creatures which anyone could ever conceive. We have no concept of harm. There is no disharmony or need nor want for pain. We would say we are simply a group of a committee which has been sent from the far recesses of this universe, which could be construed as the middle of another universe, for universes overlap. A delegation of beings who have set up a community around your planet to feed you this information and energy which is available to all those who ask for it, all those of you who thirst for this and hunger for the knowledge of it. We are simply here to give that energy to your planet. We come in total love and absolute service. For we have nothing more in common with the need to dominate than Jesus did.
D. Many people have wondered they don't just land in Washington, D.C., why right on the lawn of the White House, so that the government could contact them.
P. This would cause such a state of panic as to be counterproductive. It must be done very carefully and very subtly. For the human psyche has very little tolerance for that which is not of its understanding.
D. Then they just allow people to see them in different isolated spots.
P. Yes, so there is a gradual belief. Then there is the luxury of the population to believe or disbelieve.
D. Will there ever be a time when they will come out in the open and allow everyone to see them?
P. That is accurate. It is already predestined. It is part of the work. The time frame is not to be given nor is it completely known at this time. However, it is inevitable that this will happen, for that is simply one step of the evolutionary process of raising this planet to universal consciousness.
D. WDL, do you think they would ever interfere with our affairs on Earth?
P. It would not be accurate to term this interfere, for the whole purpose is of assistance. I wondered if there would ever be any specific event or occasion. The aliens are here, 201, that would cause this to happen, to bring it all to a head, so to speak. The threat of nuclear war was one possibility that I could envision.
P. This would be determined by the course of human events leading up to such an occasion, as to whether it would be necessary or not. I believe that if they had been taking care of us for such an incredibly long time, that they were not about to allow us to blow up our planet, that somehow they would find a way to stop us if we came to that point. P. Should the human race choose to do so, then that is the human destiny. There will be given every opportunity for this not to occur, however. The energies of your planet are affected by the thoughts which you feed into it. The energy of your planet is the thoughts that you feed into it. And so those negative, destructive thought patterns which have been fed into the energy of your planet are being challenged by energies being fed into your planet of a more constructive nature. The outcome could be that the more dominant energy will be the higher form.
D. What is the source of these positive forces?
P. Those working in the energies, such as your group, who meditate and feed this positive energy into the energy bank, Earth source, as well as those working from the spirit plane. D. Then it will be determined at that time which side will win, so to speak? Out. P. That is accurate. The decision point has not yet been reached. Therefore the energies could change between this chronological time point and that time point. Even a very slight variance in the energies could cause a dramatic difference in the ultimate outcome of that decision. D. Have other planets gone through this process of development? P. That is accurate. D. How will we know at that time which way it is going to go? P. There will be information given through groups such as your own, as to the course of action to take. Even as we speak now, there are decisions being made on many levels as to what plan of action, if such and such happens. Contingency planning, as it were. There is no hard set rule at this time, but many contingencies. When the final vote is in and a destiny is set, then an appropriate course of action can be given. 202. The keepers thee of garden. D. Once destiny is set, is there any way we can change it? P. Not so, in the sense that that which is set, it has been mutually agreed on. You yourself can always change your destiny. However, you cannot change your world destiny. Were this destiny to be mutually discarded, then, of course, it would be different. D. Are we talking about what a lot of people refer to as Armageddon? P. Not so, in the sense of one single catastrophic event, or series. Of course, this whole scenario, that is the final days of the old ways, is, as you would say, Armageddon. This term Armageddon is used simply to describe that death and birth process, the changing of the old to the new. The negative aspects of this process are described as Armageddon. However, no equivalent term has been given to those positive aspects which have an equal amount of importance. New Age is variously described as that time when all will be new. D. Then you are saying that Armageddon is just symbol event? It's not an actual. P. It has come to represent that series of events which will be experienced in that time of change, and not so much a single or singular event. D. I have been told by other people that these beings might step in and help prevent it if it came down to the wire, so to speak. They might want to stop it some way. P. This channeling shall say that, and this is strictly the opinion of this channeling, that it is possible for the human race to obliterate itself, if they so choose, for they do have that option. D. I'm thinking of an analogy. I don't know if it would be correct or not. To me it could be compared to, as though I have raised your children and taken care of them and watched over them. But then whenever they get to really influence or make them do any a certain age, you can no longer think. Would that be a correct analogy? P. That would be most appropriate. In many aspects and facets of which you are not aware, this concept is the most appropriate. An analogy which could be used in this context. D. Because no matter how much you love them and want to help them or stop them from hurting themselves, when they get to a certain point you no longer have any control over them. P. It would be possible to physically restrain them, you see. Even though these children be of adult stature, it would be possible for the parent to physically impose their beliefs on their children. The aliens are here. 203. However, it would not be likely. D. Then no matter how much these beings would like to do this, they're restricted because of our use of his will. I was proud that I was finally able to figure out this concept and supply my own analogy. It was like a beam of light sifting through the clouds. P. That is accurate. Free will is not taken lightly. It is a very important concept which was given to this planet in the foundation of its reality. D. Then the concept of free will would override or supersede anything else. P. That is accurate, for that is the primary learning tool in this realm of existence. D. I think I'm getting the picture. I want to make sure I have it accurate. Even though they could want to send us ideas and information of ways we can help ourselves, they cannot make us accept to these things. P. That is accurate. It is up to the individuals to decide for themselves their collective destiny. D. because I would think that if they were to come and land in certain places in their vehicles, they could do a lot to prevent some of these things from happening. P. That is debatable, for it could as well be said that this would instigate the very thing which was trying to be prevented. D. Why do you think that? P. There could be turned on the as they would be perceived from a human viewpoint invaders, those weapons which were sought to be restrained in the first place, and would cause the explosions although directed toward another those very same explosions which were trying to be prevented in the first place. D. But of course, the extraterrestrial beings would probably be able to defend themselves quite well I believe, if it came to that. P. There would be no need for a defense. The beings would simply not be there. They would simply dematerialize to another realm of existence. It could be argued that the weapons could be disabled and so forth, but the speculation is endless and non-productive at this point. D. Then their nature is so non-violent that they would not even put themselves in that position. P. They would not put themselves in a position which could precipitate such an event of occurrence. 204. The Keepers of the Garden. D. What can these beings teach the people of Earth if the people would listen? P. There are many lessons beyond love and understanding which are simply not within human comprehension at this point, as there is not the establishment on this planet yet of universal consciousness. With this establishment many new concepts will be introduced which will relate to politics or political affiliations, etc. Many types of concepts for humans as regarding self will be introduced, perceptions of self within society, for example. D. Won't people think of this as interference if these beings want to deal with our politics? P. There will be no politics as is known on this planet at this time, for this is not universal politics. There will be a ready acceptance, for all the old ways will be torn down and the slate wiped clean. This will be a way of rewriting the slate. D. Then they will help us set up a different kind of government or however you want to say it. P. That is accurate. They would assist in this endeavor. It would be a type of world government. D. That's what some people might call interference, changing the ways that have always been. P. That is an accurate statement which is perceived from the old way of doing things. Those who would resist the change would feel that this would be interference. However, the old way has abundant proof of its fallibility in human history. One need merely look back within the last hours, disregarding looking back through the centuries, to see proof of the fallibilities of the old ways. So it should be quite apparent that there is a great need for a new way. And this new way would then be given which is most appropriate to humankind and their planet when the old ways are removed, then the new ways will be given. D. I think it would be very difficult to set up a world government with so many different opinions. P. As was said, the old ways will be torn down and the new ways then will be brought forth. There will be no old ways in existence at that time. D. But humans have tried with their United Nations and the League of Nations, and it's always met obstacles. P. That is accurate. We would say, to be aware and to be alert and to keep an open mind. For those who are to walk into the light must be able to detach themselves from the old ways in order to. The aliens are here. 205. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. P. Embrace the new. And so, the easier it is to detach oneself from the old ways, the easier it will be to accept the new. There are those who aren't going to resist though. They will think having their lifestyle changed would be equivalent to being occupied or taken over by an enemy power. Then that is unfortunate, for they cling to the old ways and the history of the planet will not allow for coddling such ideas. These people will have a much rougher time than those who would be of less rigid nature. The history of heritage of the planet will not be held up by these people. That's why I think people believe that the aliens or the extraterrestrials are bad, so to speak, because they would want to change our ways. This is simply the destiny of this planet, which is being helped by the extraterrestrials. And so those who refuse to participate will find they have a much rougher time than those who accept and participate. Well, what will happen if a large number of people didn't want to go along with the idea? then a large number of people will find themselves in a very rough time of it. As was said earlier, the destiny cannot be changed, any more than the pregnant mother who desires not to have her child can prevent the birth, even at the 12th or 11th hour. Despite her objections, the child will be born. So it could be much easier to assist in the birth than to fight it. Would the extraterrestrials give us opposition if some of the people didn't want to go along? That is not accurate. For their reason for being here in the first place is to assist, to help, to become a type of midwife in this endeavor. I was thinking that war might develop if enough people didn't want to change. Then there would be violence. That is not accurate. For the role would not be to the extent that this change is forced in large amounts, such as would have to happen in order to create a war. The effort is very subtle and behind the scenes. It will happen slowly. This is an evolution, not a revolution. That makes it clearer. I thought they were going to try to change everything all of a sudden. There would be a lot of people who would resist that. It will not be thrown on these people, for that would not be conducive to allowing them to decide to change. 206. The Keepers of the Garden, D.P. Will these beings influence our world at us? They are influencing them now. Do you think they might influence them not to use nuclear weapons? There is the encouragement not to resort to this use. That is accurate. The influence is by telepathic suggestion of the nature that these weapons not be used. D. They wouldn't have to a person. They could do all this by mentally. P. That is accurate. This is something which any human is capable of as well, not simply extraterrestrials. D. Is it all right if use this information you've been giving me and try to pass it on to other people? P. Certainly, but with one stipulation. If someone does not wish to believe this, do not profess to this being the real truth, because truth is what one makes it. If they are ready to accept it, let them. Do not try to change their beliefs against their wishes. I understand that you would not try to influence someone else. I merely wish to emphasize that this is for those who wish it. Those who do not are not wrong not to take it, they are merely not ready to take it. D. They probably wouldn't understand it anyway. P. If they were ready to take it, they would understand it. Let them be the judge. There are many who can understand. There are many more who will be able to understand. Let them seek it out in their own time, because at that time when they are ready, they will seek it out and find it. It is all part of your goal. D. Then I will write it and let them take it or leave it. Well, is there anything else you would like to relate to us? P. Only that the most important thing on this planet at this time, for what I understand, is the elevation of human consciousness. The wars in the Middle East are a classical example of the state of affairs on this planet at this time. And it is not just in the Middle East, in South America and even in your own country, in your own cities, one can see the carelessness and thoughtlessness of one man to another. This is the most important thing to be aware of. It takes one step to begin a journey, to use an old cliché, but if that one step could be taken by everybody, the rest would follow suit. Sometimes it only takes showing that one step, for others to follow. The aliens are here. 207. If Phil is a true star child, a true alien, then I say we need more of them to infiltrate our world, for their gentle nature is much needed. If enough of this new blood can infiltrate humankind, maybe violence will cease and our world can at last be free to live in peace and harmony. Chapter 20, Terror in the Night. By all rights, this book should have been finished. In fact, it was finished. I had put it into its final form and it had been submitted to several publishers. According to the rules of writing, when a story has reached its conclusion, it is time to stop. To belabor it any further is fruitless and often anticlimactic. But something occurred in 1987 that made me open Phil's file again. The material in this book about the seeding of planet Earth came through during 1984 and 1985. After that, Phil continued with his life and seemed to be adjusting to the strange memories we had stirred. He had put them in their place and thought no more about them. I had continued working with other subjects and writing other books while I searched for the ever-elusive publisher. I had grown in those 2 years. My work had expanded to the point that the bazaar, while it still aroused my curiosity, did not startle me anymore. I accepted any of my findings with an open mind. In addition to my past life therapy work, I began to work with MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, in 1987 on suspected UFO abduction cases. This brought a whole new perspective to my work. I was no longer concentrating solely on trauma created by events that occurred hundreds of years ago in other lifetimes, and trying to help people apply the lessons of those lives to the problems in their present one. Now I had to deal with events that had occurred to my subjects in this life. This meant that I had to change my technique, and I had to apply a different sort of therapy because oftentimes the subject had trouble dealing with the strange happenings their protective subconscious had chosen to hide from them. I was compiling the information coming from several people and noting any similarities between their 208, Terror in the Night, 209, experiences. I was doing this type of work in addition to my normal reincarnation work. My conclusions and theories will be presented in a future book, The Custodians, dealing with UFO abduction cases. During this time, 1987, Bud Hopkins and Whitley Strieber wrote their compelling books about UFO abduction and focused the nation's attention in that area. I also found during the next few years that they had also opened up quite a can of worms. People whose experiences had lain dormant for most of their lives suddenly had memories sneaking to the surface of their conscious minds after reading these books. Maybe that was one of their hidden purposes. Maybe it was finally time for these memories to surface among the populace at large, because I was to find that this was exactly what happened. Maybe the memories were always close to the edge of the conscious mind and only needed this stimulus to break through. But this could have been part of a skillful and complicated plan, more clever than anyone could comprehend. I suppose I should not have been surprised when this happened to Phil. After all, who would be a more likely candidate for alien contact in this life but someone who had memories of lifetimes as an alien himself? I received a call from Phil one night in 1987 and I knew immediately something was bothering him. He said he had just finished reading the book Communion. He found the book interesting, but two things in it were nagging at him. They seemed to revive some kind of hidden memories and he didn't know what to make of them. In the book, Whitley Strieber mentioned seeing an owl as a screen for the actual alien. I have come across cases of these in my UFO work, and I call them overlays. Whatever we choose to call them, they seem to be protective screens which the subconscious erects to cover what is actually there. It could also be that the aliens themselves are using some kind of screening device to protect the individual from shock or whatever. If this is true, then they are very adept at manipulating our minds. But the fact that these memories are beginning to surface proves that their techniques are not infallible. Unless, of course, they have built-in time limitations or durations. Also, Strieber mentioned a strange insect-like thing resembling a praying mantis. The rest of the book didn't bother Phil or bring forth any recalls. But these two incidents in that book evoked memories of a horrifying dream that Phil had several years ago while living in Kansas. He wondered now if it were truly a dream or not. It had 210, The Keepers of the Garden, aroused his curiosity and he wanted to have a session to see if there was anything to it. We arranged to meet and Phil immediately began to tell me what he could remember about the dreams that had occurred in 1977 while he was living in Lawrence, Kansas. He was about 21 years old at the time and it was before he had moved out to San Francisco to live with his sister, and where he had the eventful suicide attempt. Maybe we would finally be able to tie all these strange occurrences together, if there was any continuity. He remembered two separate incidents and he wasn't even sure if they occurred on the same night, but he knew they happened while he was living in Kansas. He had been driving back to Lawrence from Ottawa after seeing a movie. It had been a light evening. The movie had been a comedy, nothing scary, certainly nothing that would have triggered the incident that followed. The highway was a small two-lane blacktop, little traveled at that time of night. When the huge bird came out of the darkness, it startled Phil so much that he ducked inside the car. He surmised that it was a large owl skimming the road looking for rats or dead animals. It was flying very low and right down the center of the road. It came into the headlights suddenly and he thought he was going to hit it head on. He thought this was a very unusual occurrence, and it scared him because it was so sudden. This was the memory stirred by the mention of the owl in communion. Phil then went home and went to sleep. He thought the next incident occurred on the same night, but the memory had become so distorted that he wasn't sure. He remembered it was about 4 o'clock in the morning when he suddenly woke up, covered with sweat and seized with absolute raw terror. He said he had never been so afraid in his life. He had had a dream and it was still fresh and real in his mind. He tried to tell it to me, and I could see that it still affected him even 0 years later. First of all, in the dream, I, or my soul, was like a ball of mercury or a blob of water. A blob of something. And it was like this giant thumb came down from somewhere, and pushed on this ball or blob that was me. I never saw any thumb, but it was a very real feeling of pressure, of my soul or spirit or whatever it was being pushed out of my physical body. It was like I was a ball of awareness or consciousness, and I gave under the pressure of the thumb. It descended slowly, pushed down, and then went back up. He knew there was a lot more activity going on in the dream, but terror in the night, 211, he couldn't remember anything else except the strange creature. It reminded him of a man-sized praying mantis. One thing that frightened him was that a probe of some kind came out of the mouth area of the thing and it sunk it into the right side of his back. At that time there was a feeling of paralysis. I felt I couldn't move even if I wanted to, but I knew I shouldn't move. I wasn't fighting it, because I knew I wasn't going to be harmed, but yet in the dream I was terrified. I always think of a praying mantis as a creature with big prominent eyes, a little face, and those long folding arms. But he said it was much more than that. I didn't really see the face so much as the general outline. It was like a stick with a head thing on the end of it. It seemed to have some sort of arms or appendages that came up. In the dream it was very easy to identify it as a praying mantis. There were sensations when the probe entered his back, but they were not feelings of pain. It was a very real physical sense of something entering my back, but it didn't actually hurt. It felt like I was being violated, although that feeling was more psychological than physical. It was so foreign. The feeling of I was not in control, and they this, whatever was. I didn't have any moral objections to it. It was just a situation that I was not comfortable with at all. It's hard to describe. Like I said, it's been 10 years ago, and I didn't really write it down or anything. I haven't thought a whole lot about it, until that book revived the memory. Phil then described his reactions after the dream. I woke up and I thought I'd had a nightmare. I have never felt such pure terror. I know it scared me to death. I got up and turned on every light in the apartment. I didn't want any darkness at all. I even turned on the closet lights. And I prayed. I was very convinced that the next morning I was going to see a priest in town and get back into the Catholic Church. I'm not a religious person, but that seemed to be the only thing I could think of. My only thoughts were that there was something evil in the dream that had terrified me. I guess I just assigned evil to it, because in the dream itself it didn't feel that way. But that's the way I dealt with it, I suppose, by saying it was evil. It was a very horrible nightmare, the worst dream I've ever had in my life. I've never experienced anything that scared me that much. I have talked about the dream over the years, but I never connected it with any type of real experience or abduction, until the book suggested a connection. That's probably all it was, just a bad dream, but it's something I'd like to look into. 212. The Keepers of the Garden. Phil also mentioned that at the end of the book a group was talking about their experiences. And it was brought up that several of them thought they weren't supposed to remember for a certain time frame, as through they were programmed not to remember. It seemed to him that this might have been what happened to him. As he analyzed it, if the dream had been a real encounter, maybe he wasn't supposed to remember it, because it would have influenced whatever he had experienced in his life since that time. He couldn't have put the later events in perspective, they would have been out of context. It would have been very disturbing at that time to try to assimilate that type of experience. There was also the feeling that if this was true, that the time had arrived when it would be all right to remember it. Streber's group also reported that several of them seemed to have developed heightened psychic abilities after the encounters. Phil was aware that this had happened to him,